having an open air meeting today, I'm going to ask your permission to take my coat off.
因为今天早晨是露天聚会，所以请你们大家许可我穿大衣。
When it warms up, I'll take the coat off.
在那热的时候，我就脱下去了。
Now we come back again to the prophecies of Ezekiel.
我们来看以斯帖书。
There is a large section of this book with which we shall not be able to deal in detail.
由于大的段落在这一本书里头，我们没有办法详细来讲。
So we must find some comprehensive way of dealing with it simply.
所以我们就要找出一条中国的说法的路，把大概看一下。
I think that way will be by looking at the three different titles by which Ezekiel was called.
我想最好的一条路就是来看以斯帖在这里面说有的三个名称。
Perhaps you have noticed that in these prophecies, Ezekiel has three different titles.
也许你们曾注意到了，在这本预言书里头，以斯帖有三个不同的名称。
And these three titles gather into themselves this large section of the book.
这三个名称可以说就把这一卷书这大的一部分里头的意义包括了。
The first of the three is Son of Man.
这三个名称头一个就是人子。
Look at chapter 2.
我们看第二章
verse 1,
第一节。
And he said unto me, Son of Man.
他对我说人子啊
verse 3
第三节
and he said unto me son of man
他对我说人子啊
chapter 3 and verse 1
第三章第一节
and he said unto me son of man
他对我说人子啊
verse 4
四节
and he said unto me son of man
他对我说人子啊
and so it goes on
就是这样，下面还说了好多。
Right through the book, that is one of the main titles of the prophet.
在这全卷书里头，这是以斯帖先知一个主要的称呼。
Perhaps you would like to go right through and note how many times it occurs.
也许你们喜欢把它看一下，全卷书里头一共用了多少次“人子”这个称呼。
We note then at the beginning that this title was peculiar to the prophet Ezekiel.
我们在这开始的时候要注意，这个名称是特别用在先知以斯帖身上。
No other prophet is called by this name in the same way.
在没有一个先知是这样的称呼，像以斯帖这样。
It marks out Ezekiel in a special way.
这个就把以斯帖特别标出来了。
Now we know that the Lord Jesus chose as his favorite title for himself the Son of Man.
我们都知道主耶稣也拣选了他自己所喜悦用的一个名称，就是那人子。
But we must not think of Ezekiel in the same way.
但是我们不要以为说以斯帖称呼人子也像主耶稣那样。
In this title, Son of Man, Ezekiel was unique among the prophets.
以斯帖虽然称呼人子这个名称，但他和其他的先知还是一致的。
Jesus as the Son of Man was unique among all men.
主耶稣他称呼自己做那人子，我们中文里头这个那字都没有翻出来啊。那人子 他的意思就是说他是和人类一致。
So let us be careful not to confuse the two titles, Son of Man and the Son of Man.
所以我们不要把人子和那人子这两个称呼混起来。
If there is any relationship or similarity, it is in the function and not in the person.
如果这两个名称有什么相同或者有什么关联的话，这是因为它那个功用有一点相同，而不是在身位上有相同。
That is the matter that we shall now consider.
这就是我们现在需要看的事。
We have seen that on the throne above it there was the likenessas of a man.
我们已经看过在那个宝座之上有一个人的形状。
And we have seen that the predominant feature of the cherubim was the man.
我们也说过基路伯那个主要的形状也是人的脸。
Therefore, we take note of this place of man in this book.
所以我们就注意这一本书里头所提的那个人的地位。
It is a special idea.
这是一种特别的观念。
We also know that man means representation and speech for God.
我们都知道人就是神的代表和说明。
Man is not only a person, he is a divine idea.
人不光是一个人，并且是神的一种观念。
There is a man upon the throne.
在宝座上有一个人。
While that man is a person, he is not only a person, he is a divine idea.
那个人自然但他不仅是一个人他也是一个神圣的观念。
The idea in God's mind in creating man was that he should represent God.
神的心目中的观念他创造人需要人代表他。
Let us make man after our own imageIn our own likeness and after our own image.
我们要照着我们的形象按照我们的样式造人，这是神说的。
Man is God's fullest thought and God's final thought.
人乃是神那个完满的最终的一种观念。
In the creation, God ended with man.
在旧创造里头神末了是造的乃是人。
And he headed all things up into man.
并且他把一切都归结于人的身上。
When God has reached such a man, he pronounces his verdict and takes his rest.
当神造出来人得着人了，神就宣布他的工作是完毕了，因此就安息了。
When he has the man according to his intention, then he says about everything, it is very good.
当他得着他心意中所得着的人，他就宣告说一切所造的都甚好。
And then God takes his rest.
然后神就安息了。
God finds his rest when he hashis man according to his mind.
当神能照着他的心意得着人的时候，神就能安息了。
But that is not the end of everything.
但这不是一切事情的总结。
At that point, God looks for reproduction.
在那个时候，神还是注意那个人的重新再造。
He says to that man, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth.
他就对那个人说，要生养众多，要繁盛，要遍满地面。
And the law of creation was that everything should reproduce after its own time.
神在创造里头那个定律乃是说各样的生物都要各同其类，一致的繁生，一致的再生养。
Things were never intended to change their form.
一切的东西不是要改变它的形状。
I think this is a little blow at evolution.
我想这个对于那个进化论是一点点的打击。
Everything was given a definite and distinct form.
每一种的生物都有它某一种确定的形状。
It was a kind of creation.
那是一种的、一类的，或者是一形的造物、受造之物。
And everything was to reproduce after its kind.
每一种的生物都是要照着它的那一个形状而再生养繁多。
A jellyfish was not to reproduce a monkey.
一个海蜇是没有办法生出来一只猴子。
And a monkey was not to reproduce a man.
一个人，一个猴子也不能再生出一个人来。
Everything after its own kind.
各种样的生物都是各从其类。
Now you see, God has made man.
我们要看见神造了人了。
And before man has fallen, God says, be fruitful and multiply.
在人还没有堕落以前，神就说人要生养众多。
God's idea was that that unfallen man should multiply.
神的意思就是说那个没有堕落的人要繁生众多。
And that unfallen man should fill the earth.
是那一个没有堕落的人要遍满地面。
But we know that that man fell.
但是我们知道那个人却是堕落了。
And the earth was filled with a kind of man that God never intended.
而全地上满了一种的人，不是神所要的一种人。
And God put a limit to his life.
因此神对这般人在他们的寿命上就有个限制。
He fixed the number of his years.
神就规定他们一生的年日。
That man should not go on indefinitely.
就是叫人不能够无限期地活在地上。
I think you see from this that God's idea is a man according to his own mind.
我想我们在这里要看见神的意思就是要得着一个他心意中是要得着的人。
In a full way, the Lord Jesus was that.
主耶稣在圆满的意义之下就是这一个人。
Therefore, he is the Son of Man.
所以他才称作他是那人子。
And in a sense, we can say he was the only Son of Man.
在某种意义之下，我们可以说只有他自己是那人子。
But the principle of manhood is taken up for the people of God.
但是这个人类的那个人性就是代表神的百姓。
And that is where Ezekiel comes in.
这就是以斯帖的用处。
It is not the person but the function.
不是那个人位，而是他的那个功用。
It is the principle.
这是这个原则。意思是说 ,sorry,以斯帖在人位上虽然不是这样，但是在那个功用上却是这样。
So that Son of Man speaks of two things.
所以人子这个称呼啊，说出两件事来。
It means bringing into view God's original thought and pattern.
这就是说他把神原初的那个观念和那个模型带进来。
That was a principle that the Lord was wanting to have realized in Israel.
这就是 神在以色列人中所要实行的一个原则。
Israel is a man in God's eyes.
在神的眼中，以色列人乃是一个人。
But in this book, Israel is not the man that God intended.
可是在这一本书里给我们看见，以色列人就不能做神所愿意得做的那个人。
In this book, Israel is a man which has been marred.
在这一本书里给我们看见，以色列人乃是一个坏了的人。
And God is now moving along the principle of manhood to recover that idea in Israel.
在这本书里就给我们看见，神是要在以色列人中恢复他所要得的那个人性。
Later we shall find that he was unable to do it in Israel as a whole.
慢慢的我们就能看见神在以色列中啊全体的不能这样做，做不到。
And he therefore sought to realize it in the remnant.
所以他就想在以色列的移民当中成就这件事。
But the Old Testament closes with this idea as a complete failure in Israel.
但是到了旧约结束的时候，就给我们看见神觉得在以色列人身上完全失败了。
When we move into the New Testament, we find ourselves in the presence of the one new man.
我们到了新约的时候，我们就在那里看见那个独一的新人。
That is the corporate man, which is the church.
那就是那个团体的人，也就是教会。
But we're not going on to that this morning.
今天早晨我们不能够多说这一点。
We are just with the principle.
我们不过就是原则提一下。
Son of man in principle means speaking in relation to an original thought and pattern of God.
人子就是把我们带回到是原初对人是有的那个观念和目的。
You have got to You've got to recognize that as the key to the whole of these prophecies.
我们必须承认这一件事是这全本语言书的一个所有。
What is it all about?
到底这些是什么意思？
What does this whole book mean in all its parts?
在这一本书每一部分里头到底是讲什么？
Well, this title, Son of Man, is scattered right over the book.
这个人子的称呼是散布在这全书的各地各处。
And it means that the governing thought of God is this conception of man according to God's mind.
这好像是说这一个主要的一个观念，就是神对人这个观念乃是管制全书。
If God sends this collective man into captivity, it means that that man cannot stand before him any longer.
若是神把那个团体的人，就是以色列人，要他被掳了，那就是说这一个人，团体人不能再符合神的心意。
God must have another kind of man.
神必须再得着另一种的人才可以。
The great illustration of that, of course, is the Valley of Dry Bones.
特别能把这件事说明的，那就是那个石头骨头的山谷的意象。
The bringing up out of the grave of Babylon a new man with a new heart.
从巴比伦那个坟墓里头出来的另一帮人，他们就是一个新的人，一个新的心。
And a new spirit.
也有一个新的灵。
Well, I think that is enough to indicate the meaning of this title.
我想这些一定够说明这个名称的意义。
God is moving for the recovery of his original thought.
神在这里做事是要恢复他原初的那个观念。
That thought has been lost.
那个观念在人的身上已经丧失了。
This is all what Paul meant in speaking to Timothy as the man of God.
提曼保罗对提曼太说，你这个属神的人呢，他的观念他的意思就在这里。
His appeal to Timothy was, O man of God.
他向着提摩太的一个要求就是说，你这个属神的人。
That is God's man.
那就是说一个神的人。
That is what God is after.
那也就是神是要得着的。
Now we must take this up as to our ministry.
我们必须把这个用到我们的职事上来。
We come into this.
我们到这来。
What are we here for?
我们要在这里看一说，我们在这做什么？
What is the meaning of our ministry and our work?
我们的职事，我们的工作是什么意思？
It is that God may have this corporate man according to his own mind.
这就是说，要叫神得着他心意中是要得着的那个团体的。
That is the meaning of Ephesians chapter 4.
这就是以弗所四章的意义。
Till we all come to the unity of the faith.
那里是说，只等到我们在真道上同归于。
To the full knowledge of the Son of God.
在认识神儿子的事上同归于一。
Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
并且在长大成人满有基督那个身量的事上同归于一。
God is working toward this corporate man.
神做工就是要得着这一个团体的。
We must remember that God's idea is man.
我们必须记得神的观念就是得着人。
I would emphasize that.
我愿意郑重地说这一点。
Because so many people seem to think that God's idea is some organization.
因为有的人是想神的心意是要得着什么组织。
Some institution.
什么社团。
Something that is called the church.
有一点什么东西是成为教会的。
A way of doing things.
那种做法。
And certain teaching.
某些个道理教训。
A whole system.
或者是一套的制度。
And God is not after that.
那神所要的不是这些东西。
God is not after the church just as the church.
神是要的不就是教会那个说的是说的那个教会。
The object of the church in God's mind is that it should be an expression of Christ.
神心目中有教会的目的乃是要叫教会做基督的一个表现。
The church is the body of Christ.
教会乃是基督的一个身体。
It is not a system of teaching.
不是一套的教训。
It is not a special form of practice.
也不是一种实行的方式。
It is a man.
乃是一个人。
And it is Christ in corporate expression.
而是基督在一个团体的表现里头。
We shall come to that later in this book of Ezekiel.
等等我们到了以西结末了的时候还要看这一点。
But we take up this principle.
但是我们要抓住这一个原则。
It is a very important thing for us to recognize.
我们是记牢这件事乃是紧要的。
Well, here this man principle speaks of three things.
这个人的原则又说出三件事。
First of all, a presentation.
第一就是一个代表。
God presents his idea.
神在这里把他的意思表明出来了。
And then a representation.
第一就是一个表明，第二是一个代表。
Something that expresses that which is presented.
在这里有代表把这表明的事情表明出来。
And then a declaration.
然后就是一个宣布一个说明
a preaching concerning that
有一种呢传说把这件事说明了
the thing is presented
这个东西是代表出来了
as a divine force
是一个神圣的观念在这里代表出来了。
And then the thing is represented in a body.
而后我说明我说错了，这个东西是表明出来了，而后这个东西就在一个身体里头表现出来。
And out of that comes the message.
而后就从这一个有了信息可以传说了。
Now have you got those three things?
我不知道你们有没有得到这三点。
First, there is the vision.
第一有这个意象。
The man is presented.
在这里人是表明出来了。
You see the man in the throne.
你在那个宝座上看见那个人。
You get God's idea.
你在他身上能看见神的观念。
God's idea is manhood.
人神的观念就是要得出人。
Manhood of a certain character.
人这个东西是一种特性的。
From that, God has a representation of it.
从这个人身上甚至得到了一个代表。
Something which embodies the idea.
在这里就把神那个观念具体化了。
And then when God has got that which embodies the idea, there's a message.
等到神得到这个具体化的东西的时候，就有信息可以传说了。
We must not put it in the other order.
我们不应该倒回头来说。
Preaching it first.
先传说。
We must first of all have seen it.
我们应该第一是先看见这个东西。
And then there must be an expression of it.
而后应该有一个具体的表现。
There must be that to which we can point and say,This is it.
因为必须有这个具体的表现，我们才能够传说的时候，直接说就是这个东西。
The message must come out of something that actually exists according to God's mind.
我们所传说的信息必须是出乎一点真实的东西，是合乎神心意的。
I think I need not stay with that any longer.
我想在这里我不需要多说了。
But you see, that applies firstly to Christ.
我们要看见这个第一是应用在基督身上。
You must first of all have seen the Lord.
你第一必须先看见主耶稣。
And then that must have produced something in you.
这个看见必须在我们里头再发生一点的果效。
So that it is not only objective and abstract.
所以这不光是一个客观的一个抽象的东西。
But the Lord has done something in you as you have seen.
是主当你看见了之后，他在你里头就做了事情，就产生出东西了。
And then out of that comes your ministry.
然后从你这里头的产生的东西，就能有信息释放出来。
The same applies to the church.
这同样的原则也是用在教会身上。
First, there must be a revealing of the church.
第一，你必须得到教会的一个启示，关乎教会的启示。
And then there must be a representation of the church.
而后，你必须有一个教会的表现。
And out of there existing a definite expression of the church, the message goes out.
因着有教会这样一个具体的表现存在在这里，那么就有信息释放出来了。
It is almost impossible to preach the truth unless there is something behind it.
除非有实际的东西在背后，就很难来传讲这个教会的真理。
It is essential that we are able to say,This thing works, and I can show you where it works.
我们必须能够说，我这个道啊是有用的，我能指给你看是怎样有用法。
That will become very clear when we come to our next consideration in Ezekiel.
等到我们下一次来看以斯帖的时候，我们就会看得很清楚了，对这件事。
But I do hope that you have got hold of this first idea.
但我确实盼望你们能抓牢了这第一个观念。
The principle in this first title, Son of Man.
就是在这第人指这个名称里头的第一个原则。
There is a very great deal of the mind of God in that title.
在这一个名称里头有许多包括着许多神的观念。
Now we go to the second title of Ezekiel.
我们再来看以斯帖的第二个名称。
In chapter 3,
这是第三章里面。
Verse 17.
十七节
Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel.
人子啊，我立你做以色列家守望的人。
In chapter 33,
三十三章。
Verse 1,
第一节
The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from among them, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, and so on.
耶和华的话领导我说人子啊你要告诉本国的子民说我是刀剑领导那一国那一国的民从他们中间选立一人为守望的他见刀剑领导那地若吹绝警戒众民等等
Verse 6
第六节
But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned
倘若守望的人见刀剑领导不吹绝以致民不受警戒
Verse 7
第七节
So thou son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel.
所以人子啊，我照样立你做以色列家守望的。
So the second title of Ezekiel is a watchman.
所以以斯帖的第二个名称就是守望的。
Well, this idea is not peculiar to Ezekiel.
这一个观念对在以斯帖身上不是特别的。
We have the watchman in other prophets.
在别的先知身上我们也看见他们是守望的。
Or shall we say we have the function of the watchman in other prophets.
或者我们可以说在别的先知身上我们也看见他们那个守望的功用。
Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch.
哈巴谷曾说我站在这的守望。
That is the function of the watchman.
这就是守望者的功用。
In Isaiah we have watchmen, watch of the night.
在以赛亚里头我们看见有守望的人守夜。
So again we have the function.
所以我们在那里也看见这个守望的功用。
But no one else was exactly called a watchman but Ezekiel.
可是在那些先知没有一个人称作守望者只有以斯帖。
And as you have noticed,That title was applied to him at the beginning of his ministry and later at his recommissioning.
我们要看见他被称为守望者乃是在他这个指示最开头的时候而后在他重新受到神委托的时候他又这样被称呼。
Now this title and this function need not keep us very long.
这一个名称和它的功用不需要我们用太多的时间来说。
We just ask ourselves the question, what is the function of a watch?
我们就是来问问我们自己一个守望者的功用到底是什么。
First of all, the function of the watchman is to know and to declare the time.
守望者第一要做的事就是要知道并且宣布那个时期
That was always an idea associated with the watchman
这一个观念总是连在守望者身上的
Right down to modern times that is true
在用在今天的时代也是这样
I don't know whether it is true in China
我不知道在中国是不是这样
or in other parts of the world
或者在其他别的地方是不是这样
but until quite recently it was true in Great Britain
但一直到现在这个在英国总是这样的
in the country places the watchman went round at certain times of the night and blew his trumpet or rang his bell and shouted the time
在这个乡下的地方在村庄里头守夜就是应该守望的人就守夜的人他们常常啊到了一个时候就是吹绝还是什么有号筒响出来就是告诉人那个时间
He would ring his bell and shout, "It is 5 o'clock of the morning."
然后就在那里摇着铃铛说，这是早晨5点钟了。
That idea is in Isaiah chapter 21.
这是以赛亚21章所给我们看见的意思。
Someone is asking the time.
有的人是问说，这是什么时期呀？
Watchman, what is the time?
现在是什么时代？
And the watchman answers, "The morning cometh and also the night."
那个失望的人就回应说，这个早晨来到了，晚间也来了。
The first thing about a watchman is that he must know the time.
守望的人做的第一件事就是他应当知道那个时候。
He must know what time it is in the purpose and work of God.
他应当知道在神的目的和工作上是到了什么时代了。
You know, there are a lot of people who are very badly mixed up on this matter.
我们知道有许多人在这件事上弄得一塌糊涂。
They are trying to do a lot of things out of time.
他们是想要在时间之外做许多的事。
There are some people who are confused in the dispensations over this.
有的人就把新旧约这个时代混乱了。
In this dispensation, God is doing a special thing.
在这一个时代里头，神是做一件特别的事。
There is one particular thing that marks this dispensation in the purpose of God.
有啊，一件特别的事，就是把这个时代标出来了，是合于神心意。
And it is of the greatest importance that you and I know what it is that belongs to this dispensation.
这是一件非常重要的事，就你和我能够知道在这个时代里头要做什么事。
There are all sorts of systems of teaching which have nothing to do with the purpose of this dispensation.
有好多好多的那个制度那个教训都不应该属于这个时代。
They are very interesting.
那些是很有意思的东西。
There may be some truth in them.
也许在那些里头也有某些个真理。
But they are not right in line with God's specific purpose for this dispensation.
但是他们却不是神为着这个时代所要有的那个特别的目的和意义。
I'm not going to take your time this morning to illustrate what I mean.
我不需要用你们大家的时间来详细地说我所说的意思。
I could tell you of different systems of truth which have taken people right off the line of God's specific purpose for now.
我能告诉你们有一些个教训有一些个做法就是把人从神在这个时代里头那个目的所要做的事带出去了从这一条路线里头带到别处去的
It is not always a question of how much truth or how much error there is in it
光是问说在这个事情里头有多少的真理或者说多少的错误光这样问是不够
The real question isIs that what God is seeking now in this dispensation?
那个该问的问题就是问说到底这是不是神在这个时代里头所要有的一个东西
Now you can usually detect the fault by one thing.
你能够总是用一件东西来查验他的那个错误
Has that something to do with this earth now
那正是对今天地上的事有没有关系
If it has then that is not what God is doing in this dispensation
如果我说错了如果那件事和这个地上地有没有关系如果有的话那么这个神在这个时代里不要做的事
God is not concerned with doing something on this earth in this dispensation
神在这个时代里头没有意识在这个地上做什么事和这个地有关系
He is taking out of the nations of people for his name
他是为着他自己的名从这个列国中把他的子民带救出来
He is building something in heaven in this dispensation.
他在这个时代里需要在天界里建造一件东西。
whether it is Israel or anything else, that is not God's concern in this dispensation.
无论是旧约的以色列人还是什么别的东西，都不是神在这个时代里头所要得着的。
And anything which has wholly to do with this earth does not belong to this dispensation.
无论什么事，只要是和这个地发生关系的，那都不是神在这个时代里所要做的事。
That is why the Lord Jesus left this earth and went to heaven.
这就是说明为什么主耶稣立地而回到天上去了。
This dispensation is characterized by a heavenly and not an earthly thing.
这一个时代它的特征是属天的一件东西，而不是属地。
That is a major test of everything.
这是最重要的一个试验，这人和世上都是这样。
Now, of course, I could spend a lot of time in speaking about what God is seeking in this dispensation.
自然我能花很多的功夫来说出到底神在这个时代里头是要得到什么。
That will come later in the book of Ezekiel.
这个等到以斯帖后边我们要看见。
This morning we are just underlining this truth.
在今天早晨，我们不过只把这个真理点出来。
A watchman's first business is to know the time.
一个守望者的第一个职责就是要知道这个时代。
And then to give a very clear message as to what the time is.
而后就完全差一个信息，说明现在是什么时代了。
If his note is not clear and distinct, people will not know what the hour is.
若是他所点出来的这说明的不够清楚，那么一般人就没有法子晓得什么时代，这什么时代。
I do ask you brothers in ministry to go and think much about that.
我的确要请你们做工的弟兄们去想想这件事的意思。
The whole matter of how much the Lord is with you will depend upon how much you are with the Lord in the purpose of the hour.
到底主在你身上能够用你有多少，乃是在于你在主面前认识他那个自己的时代有多少。
If you are trying to do something that God does not want done at this time, you're wasting your time.
若是你想要做一点神没有意识在这时代里做的事，那你不过是徒费光阴。
And you are wasting your strength.
并且你也是白费了力气。
The function of the watchman then is to be eyes for the people of God.
所以这个守望者的功用就是做神子民的眼睛。
And then the second thing,
还有第二点,
to discern what the situation is and what it will lead to.
要分别那个局面到底怎么一回事，并且有什么后果。
All this is contained in this description of the watchman's word which the Lord gave to Ezekiel.
在主给以斯帖这些话里头，我们能完全地看出这个意义来。
The watchman is looking out.
这个守望的人是往外巡视。
He sees certain things.
他看见了某种的局面，
and he discerns what those things imply.
他就能够啊辨明看透了那个局面里头有什么事。
He sees that those certain things mean something evil for the Lord's people.
他能看见那个局面里头有事情是得罪主的。
These are signs that there is evil coming.
这里有一种兆头，能看出来得罪主的事要发生了。
If these things are not guarded against, the result will be death.
若是不反对这些事的话呢，那个结果就是死亡。
You see, that is what is here in the description.
这就是以斯帖这里所说的。
And then on the other side, he sees the way of life.
另一面他也看见那个得生命的路。
And he is able to say, now that is the way of death and that is the way of life.
因此他就能指明说，那是死亡的路，那是生命的路。
But the watchman has to be familiar with what is in the way of life and what is in the way of death.
但是一个失望的人能够很舒必须舒适你知道什么是失望的路什么是生命的路。
So he has to discern the situation.
所以他必须能够辨别这个局面。
And recognize the way in which things are going.
而能够看清楚那个结局后果。
It is a very big responsibility.
这是相当重大的一个责任。
We are all called to be watchmen.
我们这些人蒙召都是来做守望者。
And we must have an unmistakable message.
我们必须有不可错误的信息。
We must understand the things that mean death for the church.
我们必须懂得现在一些个事情乃是叫讲这件事
because so very much of these prophecies are gathered into that
因为这一本预言书有好多都是包括在这个称呼里面
all these things that Ezekiel was commanded to do are gathered into that title
神是吩咐以斯帖去做的一些事可以说都包括在这个称呼里面
You look at chapter 4,
你看第四章,
you see the strange things that the Lord commanded Ezekiel to do.
你就看见主吩咐以斯帖去做的那些奇怪的事。
He commanded him to take a tile and to draw on it a picture of Jerusalem.
他吩咐他去拿一片的瓦或者砖在上面画一个耶路撒冷的城
a picture of Jerusalem as in siege
画耶路撒冷的光景是受包围的光景
and then he was told to lie on his left side for 390 days
以后甚至告诉他说你要躺在这个左边有390天
and then to lie on his right side for 40 days
然后又躺在右边有40天之久
and then to uncover his arm before all the people
然后就把他的膀臂向着众人露出来
then the Lord said that he would put bands upon him so that he couldn't move
然后主说要给他上夹板使他不能够活动
and he would make his tongue cleave to the roof of his mouth so that he could not speak
他的舌也不能够摸着他的上颚所以他就不能说话了
and then he was told that he must become a baker
然后又说他要做一个烤饼的人
and he must make enough bread to last 390 days
并且他应当预备够吃的饼能够吃390天
and then he was told to take a sharp razor
然后他就再去拿一把很快的刀
and to shave his head of all his hair
把他的头刮光了
and then to weigh the hair in balances
然后再用一个天平把你的头发来评一评
These are all strange things
这些都是古里八怪的事
He was to do all these things in the sight of all the people
但是他需要在全以色列人面前做这些事
And then when you get well on in the book you come to that very sad thing
但是你再往前去的时候你就看见一些很悲惨的事
In chapter 24 Ezekiel's wife dies
你到了二十三就看见以斯帖的妻子死了
and he is not allowed to mourn for her
而神又不许可他为着他的妻子哀哭
he is to just go on as though nothing had happened
他就像没有失妻子一样就可以
and everybody would look at him
众人都要注意他了
and would say this is a scandalous thing
他说这个是太奇怪的事了
the fellow does not care although his wife has died
这个人甚至妻子死了他都不在意
he goes on just as though nothing had happened
他就是像一点没有事发生的人一样
what is all the meaning of this
那这一切是到底有什么意义
it is all gathered into this title I am your sign
这些都包括在这个称呼里头就是我就是你们的预兆我做你们的预兆
and we just gather it up in this way
我们也就是总括的这样说
it means that the message of Ezekiel was first of all wrought into his own experience.
就是说，所有一世界传的信息，第一都是先住址，先坐在他这个人的里面。
He was taken through the message before he gave it.
在他没有传这个信息之前，神就是带他要经历这个信息。
The things that he was to say were already wrought in his own life.
凡他所要传说的事，都是老早给神主旨做到他这个里面了。
I do not know how far we are to take this literally.
我不知道你们在这件事上按照意义啊，按照字面的意义呢，领会多少。
But I'll make a suggestion to you.
我可是要向你们提一件事。
Try to lie on your left side for 390 days without moving.
你试试看，你去躺在你的左边395天，动也不得动。
That is experience.
他说，这就是一个经历。
That is painful experience.
这是忍耐的经历。一个痛苦的经历。
The thing has been wrought into you by experience.
有一个东西是注入到你里头，坐到你里头了，借助这样的经历。
This is not a theory.
这不是一个理论。
This is not just an idea.
这也不光是一个意见，一个观念。
This is something that I have felt in my own being.
这是我自己所觉到的，我亲身所经历。
Well, you do any of these things and you see that it's a matter of the thing being personal.
你无论做这些事的哪一件，结果这都是你个人经历一件事。
It is something that happens to you.
这乃是遭遇到、发生到你身上的事。
That's the whole point.
这是我们所注意的一个点。
The messenger must be a personal embodiment of his message.
一个传信息的人必须是他所传递信息一个个人的具体表现。
It must not just be things that we say.
不应该传递信息就是我们所传说的东西而已。
It must be things that have been wrought into our own life.
我们所传递信息都必须是神注入在我们生命中的东西。
You see, Ezekiel did not just give a message.
以斯帖不是仅仅地传出一篇信息。
Ezekiel was the message.
而以斯帖他自己就是那篇信息。
When the people looked at him, they saw the message.
当人看见以斯帖的时候，人就看见那篇信息。
Well, you can see what a big principle that introduces.
你能在这里看见这个带进是何等重大的一个原则。
John put it in this way.
约翰是这样说。
We speak that we do know and testify that which we have seen, our hands have handled.
我们所说的是我们能见证的，是我们摸过的，是我们看见的。
There must not be any gap between the teacher and his message.
一个教训人的人和他的信使之间不应该有一个缺口。
The teacher and the message must be one thing.
这个教训和教训人者二者必须是一件东西。
Our position must not be one of just doctrine or theory.
我们所做的事不应该就是讲一些个道理理论。
Our teaching must be ourselves.
我们所传说的就应该是我们自己。
The message must be seen in our history.
我们所传的信息必须在我们的经历生活中给人看见。
It must be seen in our experience.
也就是说在我们的经历中能给人看见我们的信息。
This will of course explain a lot as to the Lord's dealings with us.
但当然这件事就说出主在我们身上许多的对付了。
If the Lord really gets hold of us,He will not let us just give out theories.
如果主真是抓了我们的话，他绝不许可我们仅仅讲理论的东西。
The message will be born out of deep experience.
那我必定是我们是传递信息，都是从我们很深的经历中得到的。
We take three illustrations.
我们要举出三个例证来。
Peter's commission was to shepherd the flock.
彼得所得到的使命乃是牧养神的群羊。
And in his letters, as you know, he speaks much about that.
在他的书信里头，我们都知道他对这件事说的很多。
He speaks three times of the shepherd.
他曾三次说到牧者。
Then he speaks to the elders and says, "Shepherd the flock." Over which the Lord has given you responsibility.
到末了的时候，他对着长老人说，要牧养神所托付你们的群羊。
What is the chief feature of a true shepherd?
那做一个真实牧者的特点在什么地方？
Well, if we take the Lord as the example,
若是我们来把主耶稣当一个榜样看，
the chief feature of a true shepherd is.That he lays down his own soul for the sheep.
我们就看见那个真实牧者的特征，就是他为着羊生命。
Notice I have chosen the word soul.
我要注意，我是用这个 soul 很难办了，用这个命的字眼，就是灵魂。
That is the word that the Lord Jesus used.
这也就是主耶稣是用的一个字眼。
He spoke about the disciples laying down their soul.
他说到对门徒说，是要把你的魂舍弃了。
Now Peter had a very strong and big soul.
彼得这个人是有一个很大的魂。
You know what the soul is.
你们大家都知道魂是个什么东西。
And Peter had a big one of those.
并且彼得是有的魂是个大的。
And Peter's great life lesson was how to lay down his own soul.
彼得一生最大的功课就是学习怎样舍弃他的魂。
If the soul is the mind and the feelings and the will.
若是魂是心思、情感和意志的话。
We can see what a big one Peter had.
那么我们就看见彼得是有的，这个魂是多大了。
He had a mind of his own.
他有他自己的一个心思。
He had a will of his own.
他有他自己的一个意志。
And he had feelings of his own.
他也有他自己的一个情感。
And he was always pushing these things to the fore.
他常常把这些东西都摆在前头。
Peter's life was.In the hard school of having to learn how to lay down his soul.
彼得所学习的功课就是在一个艰苦的学校里学习如何把他的魂舍弃。
You know enough about the whole life of Peter as we have it in the New Testament to show you how true that was.
你在新约里能看出来彼得这个人那个魂生命是多强。
Peter was not a professional shepherd.
彼得可以说不是一个职业的牧者。
He had had the principle of the shepherd wrought right into his very being.
但他需要有那个牧者的原则，能组织，能做到他这个全人的里面。
Pass to the Apostle Paul.
我们再来看使徒保罗。
Paul's great ministry was concerning.The church as the body of Christ.
保罗他的职事乃是论到这个教会做基督的身体。
The principles of the body of Christ are relatedness, dependence, interdependence, heavenliness, spirituality.
而基督身体的原则乃是彼此相关联，互相依靠。过去就是过去的也要关联，还有属天
the last one, spirituality.
还有属灵的实际。
Now did not Paul have to have those things wrought into him?
保罗有没有这些东西组织做在他里面？
When you remember Saul of Tarsus,
若是你记得大叔的扫罗的话，
you have the very embodiment of independence.
你在他身上看见那个独立的不互相依靠的那个具体的光景。
Personal action.
他是一个单独的行动的人。
And earthliness.
并且是满了属地的光景。
And unspirituality.
不是不属灵实际的东西。
Saul of Tarsus had no sense of dependence.
大使的扫罗他根本没有一点点需要彼此依靠的感觉
of relatedness
他也没有意思和别人有关联的感觉
but see how the Lord took him in hand
但是我们要看主怎样把这个人握到主手中了
and right from the point on the Damascus road all the way through he was having to learn these lessons
就是从大马士路那个地方开始就是从那个地方开始他一生都要学这个功课
Now Paul was a sign for the dispensation
保罗就是这个新约时代的兆头预兆
You think about that
你可以想象这件事
We know the purpose of this dispensation
我们知道神在这个时代里头的旨意
It isThe church which is his body.
神的旨意就是要得着这个教会是基督身体的这个教会。
That is not just an idea or a teaching.
这不光是一个观念或者一个教训。
That is a practical reality.
这是一个实行的实际的东西。
That revelation came to the dispensation through the Apostle Paul.
这一个其实乃是借着经过保罗而赐给这个时代
and therefore it had to be wrought right into the very constitution of Paul
所以这个东西必须能够做到保罗这个人构成的成分里面去
all independence had to be destroyed
所有他里头那些独立不能和人依靠的东西都要消灭
all unrelatedness had to be removed
所有他不能和人关联的也都得去掉
all earthly expectations had to be taken away
所有那些属地的希望属地的前途也都得抛弃
Paul had to have his whole life constituted on the basis of the message that was given to him.
他需要把他的生命在他所传的信息上头重新的来构成。
He was a sign to the dispensation.
他是新约这个时代的一个兆。
That is why we make so much of Paul.
这就是我们为什么是那样的估计啊，保罗。
And now what about John?
那么约翰怎样呢?
What was John's particular message?
这样约翰那个特别的信息是什么?
The ministry of John particularly related to life.
约翰的指示特别论到生命。
That is the big word of John through all his writings.
这是约翰他所写的书里边最大的一个词。
John became the embodiment of that principle of life triumphant over death.
约翰成了那死亡胜过生命的原则一个具体化的东西。
When all the apostles have long gone to the Lord, John is still going on.
但一切的使徒很久啊以前都已经失去到处哪去了，可是约翰还生存在那里。
He outlived all the others.
他比一切的人都活得多一点
not because he had an easier time than the others
并不是说他比别人是过的生活舒服
John suffered with the others
约翰是和别人一同受煎受苦
at last John died as others had died
而到末了的时候约翰也像别人一样的殉道
but here is a testimony to divine life in spirit, mind and body
在这里给我们看见一件事就是属灵的生命在人的这个头脑思想或者身体上显为得胜
point is that John really personally represented the message that he gave
这个点就是说约翰他这个人实实之极的就是代表他传的那个信息
Peter, Paul, John could say I am your sign
彼得保罗还是约翰他们都能说我就是你们的预兆
Brothers and sisters, you and I have got to be able to say the same.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹，你和我也都必须能说这样的话。
People must be see in us the message.
人必须在我们身上能看见我们所传的那个信息。
Not only hear it from our lips.
不仅是从我们的嘴中听见这个信息
but see that that message is true in our history and experience
必须在我们的生活和经历中看见这个信息是实际
Now I have stolen some extra time
我已经把你们的时间偷偷的用掉一点
but we'll make up for that presently
等着下一场我们就不上了